our sermon series, His Name Shall Be Called, based on the titles given to Jesus in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So far, we've learned about the first three titles in this passage, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Tonight, we will focus on the fourth title given to Jesus in this scripture passage, the Prince of Peace. We live in a world where war is, for some, a way of life. It is far too common. Around the world, various nations are at war with other nations, or sometimes even at war within themselves. Many of our soldiers are stationed in foreign lands when they'd rather be at home celebrating Christmas with their loved ones. However, nations are not the only ones that are at war. Many people in this world have feelings of hatred and even perform acts of violence towards others for various reasons. Some people hate and hurt because the other's person's skin color is a different color, or because they belong to a different religion or to a different political party. Some people hurt and hate others simply because they covet and want what the others have. It's no wonder society seems to be at war with itself. On top of that, we can even find people at war who actually love one another. Many husbands and wives are at war with each other, and the result of that is marriage vows that are often broken. Many people, children, parents, are at war with each other. And the result is that we have dysfunctional homes filled with hate, tension, strife, and violence. Even us Christians, who ought to love one another, are often filled with hatred for each other. And the result is that we have some congregations that are filled with disharmony and conflict. Now, we could discuss this all night about the various ways that people are at war with one another. And it's sad. We don't have peace on this earth. And it's discouraging because I believe that the majority of us really want peace. During the Christmas season, many hope for that sort of peace that comes to their lives. But instead, we can't seem to avoid war. You have to wonder, why is this? But what we need to understand is that things have been this way ever since Adam and Eve declared war against God by their disobedience in the garden. Fellow Christians, friends, we are the sinful descendants of Adam and Eve. God's word teaches us that we are conceived with a sinful nature. Therefore, it's natural for us to be at war with God. In fact, the reason there is so much war in the world among people is that people are at war with God. And until we have peace with God, there will be no peace on earth. In fact, if peace were up to us, we'd be doomed to an eternity without peace. Scripture teaches us that we, by nature, are enemies with God. And the problem is not that God doesn't love us. No, the problem is that we don't love God, nor do we trust him. The proof is that we constantly sin against God by our desires, our thoughts, our words, our deeds, by the evil that we do, and the good that we often fail to do. Scripture clearly teaches us that we deserve God's eternal wrath because of our sin. And there's nothing we can do to change this. Not only is there nothing that we can do to get rid of our guilt and avoid the punishment that we deserve, but the real problem is also that we can't change our hearts. We can't give ourselves that peace that we desperately need. And because we are not at peace with God, there can never be at peace in the world. We can never be at peace with one another. Left to ourselves, there would never be peace on earth, but only war and strife, including in our relationships. And that's exactly why we need to pay so close attention to the true message of Christmas. I have good news for you. I have good news for us war-torn sinners who long for some sort of peace. Because tonight, we get to hear about the Prince of Peace. Simply put, Jesus, God's Son, came into the world to give us peace. But the peace he gives you must start with him bringing you into a loving relationship with God the Father. We need to be at peace with the Father if we're going to be at peace with one another. In the Old Testament reading from Isaiah, we're told that the child who is born to us, the son who is given for us, is called the Prince of Peace. He's called the Prince because he rules over us. And the peace that is described is the nature of that rule. In Isaiah, he writes, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. Isaiah here is speaking about Jesus, who is God in human flesh. Just think about that for a second. The baby who lived in Mary's womb is the Creator of all things. The infant Jesus had more power in his little finger than all the armies of the nations that have ever existed. Yet Jesus chose to live a life of humility and a life of service. Jesus even allowed himself to be beaten and nailed to the cross. Why would Jesus allow the people to do this to him? In Isaiah 53:5, we read the answer. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. Did you notice? Just as Isaiah speaks of Jesus' birth in chapter 9, in chapter 53, he speaks of Jesus' suffering, of Jesus' death on the cross. We need to understand an important truth. Jesus did not have to endure this shame. He didn't have to endure this suffering. He could have made war against us and wiped us all out. But instead, he allowed us to wipe him out with our sins so that we might be saved against a war waged by God and be rescued from the punishment that we deserve. The Apostle Paul writes about this wonderful good news in Romans chapter 5. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Isn't that something? Jesus was born to die for us. Jesus died for us to give us peace with the Father. Earlier in Romans chapter 5, Paul says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, you are at peace with God. The war that God could have justly waged against us, he instead waged against his Son. He punished him in our place, so that through faith in him, we might be justified, that is, declared righteous before God. The Prince of Peace has reconciled you to God the Father. Your sins are forgiven. You are no longer God's enemy. You can live at peace with God. You remember what the angel said to the shepherds? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Do you want that peace? Do you want God's peace? Then let his favor rest on you. In other words, repent of your sin. Trust in the Prince of Peace who died for that sin and has reconciled you to the Father. But sadly, God's favor does not rest on some people in this world. Not because he doesn't want his favor to rest on them, but because they refuse to repent of their sin and trust in the Prince of Peace. Maybe you know somebody like that. Maybe you know someone who is running from God and trying to find peace in his or her life of sin. And even maybe you have been guilty of this foolishness. Well, God doesn't want to be at war with you. God wants his favor to rest on you so that you can receive peace from the Prince of Peace. So tonight, we worship our Savior, the Prince of Peace, who came to give us peace with God. God's favor rests on you as he calls you to repent of your sin and receive peace through your Savior, Jesus Christ. In fact, the Prince of Peace even gives us his own body and blood for us to eat and to drink in his Holy Supper. He gives us this gift so that we know that we are at peace with God and that Jesus himself dwells in us. And that is the good news. And I have some even better, more important news. The same Prince of Peace who has reconciled you to God can also heal those broken relationships you have with others. As the love and mercy of God fills your heart, you'll be moved to show love and mercy to others, even forgiving those who have hurt you. Because of the Prince of Peace, husband and wives can begin to forgive, love, and serve one another. Because of the Prince of Peace, parents and children can begin to forgive, love, and serve one another. Because of the Prince of Peace, all humans who trust in him can begin to forgive, love, and serve one another. There can be peace on earth when people are at peace with God. Unfortunately, as wonderful as this news is, we must remember that we will never have complete peace until Jesus returns in glory. As I mentioned earlier, many people refuse to rest in God's favor, so they do not have Christ's peace. Even we Christians who do trust in Jesus continue to be at war with the desires of our sinful natures, the saint-sinner paradigm. Nevertheless, even though we will never find perfect peace on earth until Jesus returns, we believers can still live in peace and have certain hope for the future. We can live in peace now because we know that our sins are forgiven and that we are reconciled through God. We can also live with a certain hope for the future because one day, nobody knows when, but one day, Jesus will return as he has promised. And then he will put an end to all the strife, all the hatred, all the war, all the evil. One day Jesus will establish his government in the new creation, and he will give to us on that day his power and his glory. And on that day, believers will rest in God's favor and will be ushered into a new creation where we will live together in perfect peace. Isaiah wrote about this future government in our first reading. We also heard about Jesus' government of peace in our second reading from Micah. This hope is possible because the Prince of Peace was born of the Virgin Mary, born to save his people from their sins, so that you and I can have peace with God. This reminds me of some of the words of our sermon hymn. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. With those words in your heart and in your mind, let God's favor rest on you, rest on you, rest on your homes, and make the Prince of Peace the center of your marriages, your families, your relationships. And then, you will experience the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding. Amen.